Amen. Amen. Good morning. Welcome home. Welcome home to those that are at home. Welcome to home to those that are in Columbus today. We're glad you're here this morning. And we're excited about what God wants to do today. I believe that God wants to speak to our hearts today. I believe he has a word for every one of us today. I want to just celebrate something, though, before we get into our message today. As many of you know, as a church, we've been distributing food over the last few weeks. And we had a few people write messages, and I want to read one of those to you today. She said, "We are very thankful for you and all you're doing with the food drives, with the pandemic and the loss of my husband's company in February. We have depleted any finances that we've had trying to keep above water and paying bills alone. We are behind on things and trying to catch up. There's absolutely no money for food. So with the kindness and generosity of your church family, we wouldn't have anything to eat. And it's good food, not processed, boxed stuff. It's such a blessing to know people like you care about this community and realize the depth of other people's struggle. May God bless you." Let's give God a hand. That's awesome. That is awesome. And the latest numbers out that y'all have given out 600 boxes through the month of September and into October. Think about that, 600 boxes of food. That is awesome. Give God a hand. That is awesome. That is awesome. And that's really what this series is all about, is seeing the needs of others through Jesus' eyes. That's the name of our series, Kingdom Eyes. And Kingdom Eyes, this series is really talking about the lifelong pursuit. Let's say that together. The lifelong pursuit, because we never arrive and we don't always get it right, but our pursuit is to see as Jesus sees, the lifelong pursuit of seeing as Jesus sees. And we're going to be, throughout this series, we've been talking about different things that Jesus said to his disciples, or things that he said to his foes or his friends or just people that were around him, his teaching. And a lot of the things that Jesus talked about were the things that we don't naturally do, but were things that we can do or be through his supernatural power. And one of those things that he talked about that we're going to be talking about today is this topic of revenge. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 38 through 42. We also have the Bible app. You can go out to YouVersion app and just click on Pit Naz, and our scriptures and notes are there so you can snag that. But you know how, as a parent, where your child will kind of look at you because they know you're going to give them a sermon? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's the clean your room sermon, or, I mean, it could be any kind of a sermon, and you just kind of look at them, you know, and you're telling them, and they're looking at you like they don't want to hear it, right? And sometimes I've said, "I know you don't want to hear it, but you're going to hear it anyway," you know? And so it's okay to laugh, guys. It's all right. Everybody's kind of tight this morning. But the reality is that, you know, sometimes there's those things that we don't always want to hear, but we need to hear for a reason or some reason or another. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's covering a lot of different things. And he's talking to them about things that we don't naturally do. Like, we don't naturally forgive our sibling. We don't naturally get along with someone that's frustrating with us. We don't naturally, you know, want to let go of something that we want to tend to hang on to. And so in the middle of that, Jesus says this, "You've heard the law," talking about Moses' law, "that says the punishment must match the inquiry. You take my eye, I'll take your eye. You knock my tooth out, I'll knock your tooth out. You've heard that said," he's saying. "You've heard it said that the punishment fits the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person." Now, as I said earlier, sometimes we'll be telling our kids, or as a teacher or coach or whatever, you'll be saying things and you know you're going to say it now, and you know you're going to have to say it again, and you know you're going to have to keep saying it. Jesus is fully aware that as he's teaching this, this isn't the last time he's going to have to teach about the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount is his famous sermon, but all throughout his time on earth, he was preaching these principles. And this was one of those times. He's telling them, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Now, here's my question. Why does he have to say that? I mean, why does he have to tell someone, if somebody hits you on one cheek, turn to him the other? I think the simple math would be the reason that he's saying that is because it is not our natural tendency when someone slaps us on the cheek to say, don't worry about it, try this one. And I can tell you right now, my brother in Maryland, who's also a pastor, him and I are 2 years apart. We have different personalities. We love each other to death. But growing up, we didn't get along very well. And mainly it was me, not him. Okay, I'll take responsibility for that. But if he would have hit me on the cheek, it would have been on. I would not have pulled out this verse and said, he wasn't an evil person, but, you know, I wouldn't have done that. And the reality is this morning, probably neither would you. Now, some of you aren't physically violent the way I probably would have been as a kid if he would have slapped me on the cheek. But we might hold a grudge. We might talk about the event. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. He goes on. He says, if you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, find your coat, fold it up real nice, and give it to them as well. Why is he talking about that? Because he knows that's not our natural nature. It's not mine. I can't speak for you, but it's not mine. And I would bet it wasn't whoever was in listening ear of him giving this message. See, sometimes as parents, we know we give messages to people sometimes that they don't want to hear, but they need to hear it. It's important. And Jesus is explaining to them things that they need to hear. And to be honest with you, when we read scripture sometimes, it's really easy to pick out the things that we like. And as a pastor, it's really easy to preach the things that we're passionate about and we like. And we tend to skip over the things that are a little too close to home sometimes for all of us. And yet we need to receive them today, amen? He says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it, how long, church? 2 miles. He says, give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Now let's just go back for a second here. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, because I know you don't want to, carry it 2 miles. And listen, you probably don't really want to give to those who ask all the time, but don't turn away from those who want to borrow. What do we do with that? How do we handle that? I think it's important for us to understand, unrelated to the message today, that as we walk with God, there are things sometimes that he calls us to do that we feel good about, and there's things that he calls us to do sometimes that we would rather not do or we don't feel good about or whatever it might be. And really, it has nothing to do with how we personally feel about something. It's just being obedient and God being pleased with us. Amen? If God wants us to carry something a mile, we carry it a mile. If God wants us to carry it 10 miles, we carry it 10 miles. If God wants us to carry something 100 miles, we carry it 100 miles. But we don't carry things based off of what we think or what other people think. We carry it off of what God thinks. Amen? There are times that we want to put it down and God says, don't put that down, carry it. And there are times that God will give us release and he'll say, put this down. And someone else might say, no, you need to keep carrying it. You remember when you were 4 years old and this happened and that happened? Yes, I know, you remind me every day, and I'm sorry. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that their adult children will still hold them responsible for things that happened 30 years ago, and they carried it to the cross and asked forgiveness for it, and that adult child continues to tell them to carry it, and God's told them to put it down. Does that make sense? And then there's times, I shared this in the first service several years ago, there was a marriage situation that God gave me a burden for, and I just wanted to put it down. And sometimes you get a burden for something and you want it to turn out a certain way and it doesn't. But in this particular case, I had a similar burden. And many times I wanted to just put it down and God wouldn't let me put it down. And later, this couple reunited. There's reasons that we don't always understand why we're supposed to carry or we're not supposed to carry. But what we have to be careful with is that we're not listening to our voice or someone else's voice. We're listening to God's voice. Kingdom eyes see that we're called to forgive the people who offend us. Say that with me. Kingdom eyes see that we're called to forgive the people who offend us. We know that. If you've been raised in the church, you know that. You learned that day one. True or false, you're supposed to forgive people when you do the wrong, when they do wrong to you. Every one of us who know the scripture would say, true. We are supposed to do that. So why is it so hard sometimes? Jesus knew that it was hard. That's why he's talking to the disciples about it. And he knew it was something that's easy to deal with. And I want to mention something too as we're thinking about this. In the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that love keeps no record of being wronged. And that we're called to this pattern of forgiveness. And as I think about that, it makes me think of a story that I've heard throughout the years. This person had been struggling with something, and long story short, they had laid it down and they had asked God for forgiveness. And the reality is that they had kids, and some of the things that had happened to them as a child that they had laid down and forgiven their parent for and walked away from the issue. As they became a parent, they started to say, well, I would never treat my child the way that I was treated. And what they had forgiven that person for now all of a sudden became a grudge again. Does that make sense? I say that to say sometimes we can forgive someone for something and then we can pick it back up again. You were a child, someone hurt you, abused you, and you forgave them, and then you had a child and you got angry all over again. And the reality is this morning, that yes, there needs to be that experience where we actually forgive. But then there's also a process of continuing to forgive throughout the course of our life. You think of someone who is in AA, and they've been sober for 30 years. And you'll hear them say, well, I'm an alcoholic. And I remember talking to somebody one time, and I'm like, yeah, but you've been sober for all these years. Why are you saying you're an alcoholic? You don't drink now. He said, well, at any point, I could take a drink. And I'm reminded that I have to continue to surrender that or I can pick it back up. I share that with all of us today because the reality is there are some things that are easy to forgive and there are some things that aren't quite as easy. There are some things that there's no box for. For example, Peter had heard Jesus talk about this whole thing of revenge. He'd heard Jesus preach this message about revenge. And he has this moment where he kind of forgets. He was trying to defend Jesus. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the disciples had come into the garden and they were falling asleep, and at some point, they come to arrest Jesus. And Peter, the defender, trying to protect, not really understanding that Jesus has to go through with this plan. His eyes could only see that these people were coming to get him. He loses his temper. He pulls out his sword. I don't even know if he lost his temper. Doesn't say that. Maybe he just was trying to defend him, but for whatever reason, he pulls his sword out and he strikes this guy's ear and he cuts it off. Jesus says, put away your sword. Put away your sword because I have to go through with this plan. Put away your sword because this is not my way. He restores the man's ear. And I don't believe this verse is saying that if someone breaks into your house to attack your family, that you're just supposed to sit there and not do anything about it. We're called to defend and to protect the weak, amen? It's not what I'm saying. But there are times and situations where someone attacks your character, where someone attacks someone you care about, where someone is angry with you, where there's a situation that's difficult. And there's something inside of you that wants to draw the sword. You ever watched kids play during recess on the playground? I used to substitute teach and I'd watch this. This kid gets hit in the face with the ball. He goes and finds the ball and he just throws it and hits the dude right in the face. Or you watch two girls get in an argument. You said this and you said that, and the next thing you know, they're just saying all kinds of ugly things, right? You're at Christmas time, you're around your family that you're not normally around, and that person is there. You know what I'm saying? That person, a lot of smiles on that one. Yes, I do know. And they say that thing that they always say because they know your button. Now, we're supposed to let the Holy Spirit deactivate that button, amen? We're supposed to do that. But that button can be activated if we're not surrendered to the Lord every moment of the day. And they say what they've always said about you or about the way you used to be. And you would love nothing more to pull out your sword. Now, let me just say this. We've all been guilty of pulling the sword out. If you would say you've never pulled the sword out in a passive-aggressive way or in a words way, you're probably not being honest. So we've all done it. But kingdom eyes and a kingdom heart is able to slow down and allow the Holy Spirit to catch up. And I've done this, and I've not done this, and so have you. To say, no, don't. Yeah, but don't. Are you going to let me defend you? Or are you going to get in the way and try to defend you? You know, one of the reasons that we sometimes seek revenge is because we would never say as Christians that God doesn't know how to do his job. Like, even those of us who maybe handle something wrong, we would get it right on paper. Does God need help handling his job? We would say no. But do we kind of think that? Well, God, I just think you need a little help. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. My husband didn't say it, so I'm going to say it. My wife didn't say it, so I'm going to say it. My brother didn't say it, so I'm going to say it. Yeah. I'm hearing snickering. That's funny. We've all been guilty of this. But what we have to remember is that it's not our place to take revenge. I didn't figure I would get a ton of amens today. But let me just say something to all of us, myself included, and to you at home, to those in Columbus, all of us here, it is not our place to take revenge. Well, God just, I would never say that God doesn't know what he's doing, but I just kind of want to help. A little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit. What she said was, she's sorry. But what she meant to say was, she's sorry, but you're stupid. Just thought I'd throw that in there just to get it all clear, right? No. Dear friends, Peter went on to help build God's church. So there was grace for Peter, even though he missed on the sword deal. There's grace for us. But he says, dear friends, he doesn't say foes. He's writing to the church. He says, dear friends, never take revenge. Let's read it together. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, because sometimes you can't trust your own emotions. Listen to this. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. Look at that. I will take revenge. Let's say that together. I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. What's God saying there? I got it. Now, I'm a little bit ADD, And my family and people that I work with at times will tell me sometimes, hey, focus here. Because I have a tendency sometimes to, somebody will tell me something and I'll forget. Some of you are the same way. And I'll say to my wife, you've told me 3 times. And she'll say, because I'm making sure you can remember. Amen. That was a layup. For those at home, my wife just said amen. It's true. And the same reason that we remind people in our life of something that we've already told them, God is trying to remind them when he says, hey, don't take revenge, and I want to remind you, I will. But not in an ungodly way. Did you notice here just a minute ago? See if I can find the slide. Of course, now I can't find it. But it says righteous anger. Did I miss it? There you go. See? I missed that. Righteous anger. Why does it say righteous anger? Why doesn't it just say anger? Leave the anger to God. Because what God is trying to say is, God's going to make things right, but he's going to do it in a holy, godly way. Not in an emotional way. I heard, some of you have heard Craig Groeschel say that, and we've all been guilty of this, that when our emotions are high, our wisdom is low, right? Think of some times where you've been really emotional before. Sometimes that's not, your wisdom isn't high, because you're emotional. I will take revenge. So here's what we need to know. Let God sort it out. Amen? Let God sort it out. Say that with me. Let God sort it out. So when Whitney and I first got married, she was in charge of our finances. And much like a lot of college kids, when you first, you know, when you get married, we didn't have a lot of money. So paying bills was stressful. And I remember she would sit down, and she did a good job with the bills, but it stressed her out, and she would be in tears. And I remember coming home from work. I worked at Capital Federal. I was a bank teller while I was in college, and came home, and she's at the table and trying to do these bills, and she's in tears. And I said, babe, do you just want me to do it? And in the most subtle way she could, she said, absolutely, yes, I do. And I remember that burden for her was lifted. She didn't have to sort it out anymore. She could just let me deal with it. That's what God wants us to do with those heavy things that don't fit in a box. For some of us, we're black and white thinkers. And what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And when it comes to politics or religion or any other topic that we can think of, everything goes in a nice, neat little box. But we would all admit, no matter if you're that way or not, that there are some things you're not quite sure which box to put them in. Whit will say, why'd you put that there? Like, I don't know. She's like, that's not where it goes. Well, I didn't know it went there. It's always gone there. Oh. We need to understand that God always knows where things go, but we have to ask him and let him tell us where they go, because for our human nature, we're not always sure. Sometimes you read a scripture, sometimes you'll have a thought, sometimes there'll be something, and it doesn't say in the Bible, okay, this is what you do. It gives you principles, but you have to unpack that. So sometimes we just have to say, God, I'm giving this to you, I'm letting you sort this out. whether you're the president of Europe or you're the president of the United States, whether you're the head of the medical going on in our country with COVID, whether you're a principal, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a coach, there's no exact compartment for this stuff to go into, is there? In the political climate, everybody's got a strong opinion on that. People are trying to fix. Some people say everything fits in this box. Other people say it goes in that box. And then other people are trying to figure out which box it goes into. There are things that in life where we have to let the Holy Spirit show us what box that it goes into, rather than listening to what box we think it needs to go into, or what box some other person tells us it needs to go into. We have to listen to God and let Him tell us which box it goes into. Amen. Don't say, "I will get even for this wrong." Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Wait. How many of you just love waiting? Raise your hand. Wow, there's a lot of hands. I was being sarcastic. There's none. We want an answer now. We want this resolved now. We want our food now. You watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? I want it now. It's a song too, right, by the way? Sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes the reason you don't have clarity yet is because God's not done explaining it all. Sometimes the reason you don't have a wind in the sail isn't because you want to go back to shore and isn't because you want to go out in the deep. He's just not blown the wind yet. So you're sitting there on the water waiting for God's breeze. This is close to home for all of us today, isn't it? So while revenge is not ours to take, there is something that is our responsibility. We could not ever earn our salvation. We could not do enough good stuff to earn our salvation. That is the grace of God. But we do have a responsibility that is not God's. God supplies the power for us to do it. It's like a coach. They can give you the game plan, but you have to go out and execute it, right? We are responsible to forgive as the Lord forgave you and me. We have to let go and let God. That cliche statement that we kind of, yeah, it's true though. Now let me just be honest with you. Forgiving doesn't mean that we stop using common sense. If someone abused, if you had hired a babysitter and they abused your child, you have to forgive them, but that doesn't mean you're going to let them babysit anymore, right? If someone is dishonest, that doesn't mean you're necessarily supposed to trust them, but you are to forgive them. Amen. And also, kingdom eyes see that God decides, not us and not others. You know that person in your life that wants to remind you of the mistake you made or that someone else made? They don't decide. Or if you beat yourself up over something, or you don't think it's a big deal when God really thinks it is. I mean, there's a big old spectrum here that we could cover. But the reality is, God decides how many miles we're to carry someone's bag when they ask us to carry it. Well, I just want to carry this a mile. I think this marriage is going to end anyways, God. And I've been praying for this marriage for a long time. You know that I've been praying for it. God, it's just hard. I've been praying. Why are you keep carrying it? Keep praying? Lord, come on. I mean, common sense says, what? You want me to keep praying? All right. Yes, I know your ex-husband has reminded you over and over of what you did, and you took it to the cross, and you got forgiveness for it, or you made it right, or whatever it is, you've got peace about it, and your ex keeps reminding you, or your kids, or whoever, of you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. Adam gave a little talk at the end of the message in the first service, kind of stealing that for you in this one, but it's good. When Peter got out of the boat, he began to sink when he fixed his eyes on the waves. Or the waves could represent our opinion or someone else's opinion. Can you imagine being a principal right now or a teacher? Or a pastor. I saw this pastor got up on a Sunday morning and he said, I want to read you these letters. And the first letter said, Pastor, how dare you keep the church open during COVID? Next letter, how dare you close the church during COVID? And it went on to all these different things. We have people all over our country right now and around the world that are trying to make decisions, and everybody's got an opinion. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. We live in a free country. But you want to know whose opinion matters? It's God's. And the Bible says we have to work out our salvation through fear and trembling, which means there are times where, for those of us that are black and white people, there's not always a clear box. And we have to get alone with God and knowing that we are wired a certain way, and God has to speak to us, and we have to work that out, and we are responsible to carry it as far as God wants us to, whatever that means. And kingdom eyes see that we are to pursue loving as Jesus loved. And loves. How did Jesus love? Sometimes he had tough love. Sometimes he had compassionate love. Sometimes he looked at them and said, hey, I know they're kids. Let the little children come to me. God, show me how to love like you. I feel for some of you. You're making tough decisions. You're having to say tough things. I hope you pray for our country. I hope you pray for our leaders and our president, regardless of who the president is in any time of history. There's a lot on that person's desk. I hope you pray for your enemies. I hope we pray for those that persecute us. I don't know if this is true, but I heard that like 50% of marriages end. That's a pretty common number. But the other stat I heard was, and I don't know how they know this, but if a husband and wife pray together every night, they have an 88% chance of making it. Why? it's really hard to get angry with someone that you're praying for them every night. Because when you start praying for them, whatever that grudge is kind of starts to go away because you're praying for them. And sometimes you come up against situations where there is no easy answer. And we have to discern God's voice. So imagine what would happen in the climate we're in now with COVID and politics and all the anxiety that has been produced through the situation that we're in right now. If we just simply said, God, are you pleased with me? Am I carrying this long enough, or am I carrying this farther than you're asking me to carry this? Have I subtly and not realizing it tried to help you do your job when you are the God of the universe and you can do your job just fine? Not one person can feel totally innocent today. So what would happen if in the next few minutes, whether you're at home or you're in Columbus, you're here, if we just said, God, what do you want me to do with this? What if you didn't put someone else's name in there that you think needs to do something with it or needs to hear this or whatever, and you and I just both said, God, what do you want me to do with this today? Do you have a vengeful spirit towards someone who's hurt you? And you justify that vengeful spirit because they did hurt you. Or at least it feels like they did. Have you been holding a grudge against something your dad or your mom or someone said to you or did to you? And it's that one little area. I have really sensitive feet. Some of the people can just walk on rocks. I can't hardly walk. I don't know how people do that. One time I went into a doctor, a foot doctor, to get something removed from my foot, and they had to stick that needle in my foot, and I thought I was going to pass out. I didn't want the needle because it hurt, but it needed cut out. I don't like saying the word wart. It's a weird word. But I had this wart on my foot that needed cut out, and it needed cut out, but I didn't want it cut out because I didn't want the needle in my foot. What if we just said, God, search my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. God, I'm out of the boat. I'm fixed on you. What do you think? What do you say? What if we just did that this morning? I think you might tell us. Let's stand together this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a good God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that none of us get what's coming to us through a relationship with you. Father, may we not help you do your job. Father, may we carry it as long as you want us to carry it, no matter how long that is. Father, may we see our friends. May we see those who persecute us. May we see our transgressions. May we see the things in our life through your eyes. If we need to repent, I pray that we would repent. If we need to move forward, I pray that we would move forward. If we need to let it go, I pray that we would let it go. But if we need to obey, I pray that we would obey.